Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. Lord, I pray for those that are traveling, those that are sick, that your healing hand would be upon them. And Father, I pray now for this congregation that's here this morning, that we would not be distracted by anything, that our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us, that we would be hungry to hear your word this morning. May by the power of your Holy Spirit, you speak to each and every one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So y'all remember last week I started off with Ephesians chapter 5 to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with word through by the washing with water through the word. And so I want to keep that mindset of God's Word washing us. And we've been going through the Ten Commandments. We'll have no other God before Him. We'll have no idols. We'll not misuse the Lord's name. We'll remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. We'll honor our father and mother. We'll not murder. We'll not commit adultery. And that's where we ended off last week and this week. And Exodus 20:15, it says, you shall not steal. And you say, well, that's easy, Pete. I'm not a thief. I'm not somebody that goes in and robs people in the middle of the night. But I wonder how many of us, we think we don't steal, but in some ways we do. We may steal time at work. We may, cheat on our taxes. We may do what we can to just make the numbers look right in our favor, to just help us out a little bit. In Ephesians 4:28, he says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. See, it's sweeping our nation. People don't want to work. Everywhere you look, help wanted, help wanted, help wanted. When we went to Colorado a few months ago, some of the best restaurants had been featured on the Food Network. We like to go to those to just try the food, you know. And they were closed because they couldn't find workers, and they could only open like 8 hours a day and 5 days a week because they couldn't afford to pay overtime, and they can't find enough workers to staff their businesses. And you even look around here, and everywhere you look, there's help wanted. McDonald's is even given like a $300 or $500 sign-on bonus because they need workers so bad. And as I was thinking about being a thief and stealing, you guys, I want you to understand something. People that can't work, that are really disabled, I say help them. Do everything we can to help them. Make sure they're not going hungry. Make sure that they have a roof over their head. But what I see happening is so many people that just don't want to work. And they're manipulating the system, and they're doing what they can to have the government take care of them. That's stealing. When you can work and you won't work and you expect someone else to pay your bills, that's stealing. And you notice here it says that stop stealing, but we must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. See, it's not just about us not stealing anymore, but it's about us giving. It's about us sharing. It's about us taking care of those around us. Romans 13:7 says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe him taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So that means that we shouldn't cheat on our taxes. I'm not smart enough to do that really anyway, but you shouldn't. You shouldn't cheat on your taxes. That if you owe somebody something, you should pay them. You ever owed somebody something and it bothered you? I have. and you it like bothered you because you wanted to pay them back so bad. And so you wanted to make sure that they got their money, but you know, have you ever loaned somebody something and they never paid you back, and then it bothered you maybe even more? Like, man, they took my money and they never did pay me back. Y'all, stealing and owing people what you owe them, and doing right by your taxes and making sure that you're paying what you use. I want to go to Luke 19 now. If you guys want to open up there, I'm going to be reading about 9 verses. Familiar story. Most of you guys, if you ever went to children's church, you probably seen this story and heard this story and maybe even a little picture of this story. But Luke 19 verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." You see the difference? He went from being a thief, a tax collector, getting everything he could, to saying, "I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to pay them back 4 times what I had stole from them." You see the difference in attitude when Jesus comes into your life? Can I tell y'all something? That if Jesus is part of your life now, and you're stealing, you're miserable. I've told this story before, and I don't say this to bring any condemnation upon anybody. I'm just telling you how the Lord dealt with me one day. And one day I was at work, and I hit the button to get a Mountain Dew, and it wouldn't come out. It wouldn't come out, and I hit it again, and then all at once 2 drinks come out. I'm like, bonus! I got 2 for the price of 1. I grabbed them both, and I started to walk out the door, and the door shut behind me, and the Lord said, "You only paid for 1. Well, it's a vending machine. The Lord said, "You only paid for 1. You know what I did? You guys might think I'm an idiot. I turned around and went and put that bottle, the extra bottle, on top of the machine, so when the guy come to switch out the machine, he'd see it sitting there. Because the Lord convicted me of that. A little bottle of pop. I ain't saying that to bring that on anybody else. That's just how the Lord dealt with me that day. I've stolen in the past. I've taken things that didn't belong to me. Before I was a Christian, I did that kind of stuff. And I guess because I'm so sensitive, because I have been a thief before, that the Lord said, "Don't even allow a little thing like a bottle of Mountain Dew to come between me and you. Don't even allow that in your heart, in your life." Zacchaeus went from ripping people off to saying, "I'm giving half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to pay them back." Proverbs 10:2 says, "Ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death." Proverbs 20:17 says, "Food gained by fraud tastes sweet to a man, but he ends up with a mouthful of gravel." I heard a story, and I'm sorry, because I hear stuff as I'm out delivering, as I'm out driving, and I halfway hear it, or I halfway listen till I think it's interesting, and then I've already missed it. You guys ever done that? But I heard a story about this revival, and I believe it was in the mid-1900s that a revival broke out up by Canada and in Michigan. This huge revival was breaking out, and that all these employees of the of Ford and GM and the motor plants were getting saved. And they began to bring back items that they had stolen from the company. And it got to the point that these companies said, stop. We forgive you. Stop bringing back this stuff because you're messing up our inventory. It's done with. And that the companies told them to stop bringing it back. But there were so many employees stealing stuff. And when they got right with Jesus, they stopped and they were returning what they had stolen. That's a revival, church. You don't know what you're facing bringing it back. And these men were just bringing them back in droves to the point that they had to stop. That the company asked him to stop. He who has stole must steal no longer, must work and to share with those in need. Okay, now I want to go on to Exodus 20, verse 16, and it's the next commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. I really think that we probably have a greater problem with this than stealing in our churches today, in our lives today. I want you to think about God considers it important enough to be one of His Ten Commandments that you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, that you shall not lie about your neighbor, that you shall not lie in general. But how many people have a problem with lying? You know, I had friends in school that lied, and they lied so much I didn't know whether to believe them when they were telling the truth. I had a friend one time, and he told me about something that happened when we was out four-wheeling and dirt biking when we were younger. And I had told him a story about this ramp that we'd found and all of us jumping and ramping and everything. And a few weeks later, he told me the story like he had been there and not me. It was my story to tell. He just lied. He lied all the time. And I never knew whether I could really believe him, whether I could really trust him or not. And today I believe there's many that struggle with this and they lie and they give false testimony against people and they lie about themselves. And 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. You hear that? When you're on Facebook, when you're on social media, someone insults you, don't fight back. But with blessings. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil. Do you want to see good days? Do you want to love your life? You must keep your tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You know, I wonder sometimes if our prayers aren't being answered because we're liars. We lie. We bear false witness. We repay evil for evil. We're not careful with our tongue. We're not careful with our speech. Proverbs 12:22 says, The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. You hear that? He delights in men who are truthful. Have any of y'all ever... I can't remember what it was. It was a few months ago. I told a lie on accident. Have you guys ever told a lie on accident? You said something that you thought was true and then you found out later that it wasn't. I can't remember what it was, but I had told some people, I think it was some people from church something. And then I realized that I'd lied later. Man, I couldn't wait to make it right. Like calling them and telling them, I told you wrong. And I didn't mean to, but I told you wrong. And I told a lie, but I thought I was telling the truth. I was a liar. I'm not gonna. I remember getting caught smoking and lying like a dog to my dad. He's sitting back there today. I lied. The cigarettes was up underneath the floorboard of my truck and he found them. I lied Why did I lie? To get out of trouble. I didn't want to get in trouble. I lied. I was a liar too. The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. Is it always easy to be truthful? No. It's not. It's not always easy to be truthful, but the Lord delights in men that are truthful. Psalms 34, 12 and 13 says, "Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keeps your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies." That sounds a lot like what we read in 1 Peter here. If you desire to see many good days, you keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Y'all, I know there's people that come to this church even that have problems with lies because I've caught them in it and I don't call them out. But I've heard them. Y'all, we want to be righteous. We want to be holy. We want to be cleansed with the Word of God. This is the time. This is the time for the Holy Spirit to be working on you, to be working on me and saying, what have you been speaking? What have you been saying? What has been coming out of your mouth? Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator." So what that says to me is the old self was the liar. The new self is created in the image of God now. That the old self was the liar. That we're no longer to be those liars. We're no longer to have that lying coming out of us. Lying is the old person. It has no part in us anymore. I would ask you to raise your hands, but I might be embarrassed, but I was that liar. I was that old person. So I don't want it anywhere in my life now. And there's times, like I said, that I've accidentally lied to people, that I've said a story wrong, and it bugs me because I want everything coming out of my mouth to be truth so that people can trust me, so that they can know when Pete says something, it's the truth. How many of you have lied so much that people don't trust you anymore? How many of you have embellished a little bit on the story and added just a little bit to make it sound a little better? John 8, 44 says, "You belong to the Father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." When you lie, who are you being like? You're not being like God. You're being like the devil, the father of lies. And many of us lie to get out of stuff. Many of us lie to keep from getting in trouble, to make us sound better. Proverbs 6:16. Proverbs 6:16, and this really got me. If you guys are asleep, wake up. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. We love God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love somebody, you don't want to do what they hate, right? Like, if you know something bugs somebody, you know something, it really drives them crazy, then you don't want to do that. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. You see that? In just those few lines of what God hates, that He finds detestable, a lying tongue and a witness who pours out lies are in that. In those top seven, a lying tongue and a witness who pours out lies. You think lying's just, ha ha, it's a little innocent fun, I'm getting away with something. The Lord detests it. He hates that. But how many of us practice it? How many of us live in that? You remember in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, what happened to them when they lied? They were struck down dead. Said, "You did not lie to men, but you lied to God. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And they were struck down dead. I want you to think about how different would your language be if you had that type of fear. If I lied, if I deceived somebody, if I bear false witness, I could be gone like that. Would it change your speech from this moment on? Would you bring back those words a little bit? Would you think a little harder about what you're going to say? Matthew 12:36, but I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. That's a scary verse to me. I'm going to have to give an account for the words that I have spoken. That's a scary thought that I'm not going to have my best friend there. I'm not going to have my mentors there. I'm not going to have my wife there. I'm not going to have you guys there. It's going to be me and the Lord giving an account for the words that I've spoken. The way that I've spoken, the people I've talked about, the not only the lies, the gossip and the running down and all those things. I'm going to have to give an account for that, and you're going to have to give an account for that. I was thinking this morning about it, and I was thinking about what's the reasons that we lie. And I was thinking probably the number one reason we lie is to get out of trouble. When we were kids, we lied to our parents because we didn't want to get a spanking or get grounded. When we're teenagers, we lied because we don't want to get the car taken away or we're wanting to stay out all night. Any of y'all ever do that? I'm staying the night with so-and-so, and so-and-so staying and everybody thought you were staying at somebody else's house and you weren't there. Because we lie because we want to get away with stuff. And I was thinking about why else do we lie? And I thought to make ourselves look better. We'll embellish. Any of y'all ever caught a fish this size? And it goes this size, and then it gets this size, and then it broke your line. It was so big, and then you jumped in and wrestled it with your hands and carried it up to the bank. Yeah, we embellish, right? Our stories get better and better as years go on, and oh, we got to be careful. We want to make ourselves sound better and seem better than what we really are. We say it to get out of trouble. We say it to make ourselves look better. And we say it to just deceive people sometimes. To manipulate situations. To try and make ourselves get that promotion or to get ahead in life. And so we do it to just manipulate. Maybe it's not an outright lie, but we hold back a little bit. I heard Adrian Rogers tell this story, and I don't want to lie to you, okay? I think, best of my memory, he was in college, and he was traveling to Louisiana to preach at a church, and he knew his taillight was out, but he said he thought, oh, well, I need to get there, and I don't have time to replace it or whatever. And said in the middle of the night when he's coming back from that church in Louisiana to wherever he lived, I think it was a several-hour drive, he said that a policeman pulled him over. And he said the policeman said, sir, did you know you have a taillight out? And he said, I have a taillight out? I have a taillight out. And said, well, did he lie? You know? But he said it was with the way that he said it in his voice, like, oh, I got a taillight out. He said that as soon as that officer let him go, that said the Lord just laid on him. You lied, Adrian. You lied about that. Well, no, I didn't. I said, I got a taillight out. But it's the tone. It's that deception. We know, don't we? We know. We know when we're lying. Why do we lie? To make ourselves look better, to get out of trouble, and just to deceive people. And I'm going to end with this verse. And this verse really, really isn't, it's more about taking oaths or vows. And it's in Matthew, and I believe it's again in James, the same kind of word structure. But this has really helped me in my life because I'm a blabbermouth. And there's a verse that says where words are many, sin is not absent. And that's more of a verse about controlling our tongue. And I'm talking more about lying, but Matthew 5:37 says, simply let your yes be yes and your no's no's. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You ever think about that? Just not talking so much? Just let your yes be yes and your no's no's. I mean, for some of us, that's going to be hard, right? I'm not one for awkward silence. I'm not. So if it's quiet, I'm talking, you know. I love Kyle and how he's fine. If it's quiet, Kyle's good. Hayden's that way. Hayden can sit there and he can be quiet all day long and it don't bother him. And it's just like that awkward silence. So here's me. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta talk about something. And that's where we gotta be careful that we're not embellishing, that we're not adding to, that we're not trying to get out of trouble. We need to be men and women of God and full of truth, washing our minds, washing our hearts with the Word of God. And some of you this morning, maybe you need to ask God to forgive you. Maybe you need to ask God for strength, that maybe you've been stealing. Maybe you've been stealing from work. Maybe you've been stealing time. Maybe you take an extra 5 minutes at lunch or an extra few minutes at break. Maybe you've been like some of those guys and loading up your backpack or your bag and carrying stuff off from the job site. And this is the day that you need to say, God, forgive me because I've been a thief. Or maybe this morning you say, Pete, I lie and I lie for no reason. Sometimes I lie just because it's the easy thing to do, because I don't want to hear my wife. I don't want to hear my husband. I don't want to hear the griping. I know one lady that has her credit card bills sent to her sister's house, so her husband doesn't know how much she's charged up. That's lying. That's deceiving your husband. That's deceiving your spouse. You know how much that would break my heart if I found out Crystal was doing that? Amy, has Crystal been sending any credit card bills to you? But it's deception, it's lying, it's keeping things. And us being men and women of God, we need to stop. We need to stop. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. Lord, You know me. You know what a thief I was and how I've stolen. I'm so thankful for Your forgiveness and Your washing and Your cleansing. And I pray, Lord, that if there's any here today that's struggling with that, that You would wash them clean. That salvation would come to their house today. And Father, I believe there's many today that we lie. We embellish, we add to, we try to get out of things. And we don't speak truth. Lord, as we read in Your Word that You detest a liar, may we understand that and know that someday we're going to have to give an account for every careless word we've spoken. And that the lying may stop. The embellishing may stop. The deceiving may stop in each and every one of our lives. And may we speak truth and our yes be yes and our no's no's. And may we be a trustworthy people that those around us would know that if we say it, it is truth. Father, forgive me for the times that I've lied intentionally. Forgive me for the lies that I've told unintentionally. Lord, for the times that I've embellished, that I've added to. But I pray from this point forward that each and every one of us would no longer be liars, that we would speak truth. Lord, have Your way now. May You wash each and every one of us clean. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you. But I encourage you to just spend some time with God right now. Search your heart and have the Holy Spirit search your heart and search your mind. And Maybe He'll bring something back that you need to ask forgiveness for. However the Lord moves now.
Pick up your heart and carry it to healing hands. There is no pain, no scar. So pick up your heart and
sometimes I get home on Sunday afternoons and I'm like, Pete, why'd you say that? Why'd you share that story? But you just, I really try and trust when I'm up here that the Lord's using me and that what I'm saying is from the Lord. Many of y'all have heard my testimony before about, you know, as far as stealing stuff, I'd stole stuff as a right out of high school and stuff. And after I got saved, I felt like the Lord kept telling me to go make it right. And I did not want to. And years went by and I felt such a burden. And we got back our income tax return. My kids were little. We didn't have any extra money. But I felt like I was supposed to go pay that man back for what I'd stole from him. And I got to his house. His car was in the driveway. My heart was pounding out of my chest. And I went up and knocked and rang the doorbell and knocked and rang the doorbell. And he never did answer. His car was there, but he didn't answer. I went back and got in my truck and just began to weep. It wasn't audible. But I felt like the Lord said, it's under the blood, let it go. Let it go, Pete. It's under the blood. But you know, a few months ago, I was reminded of that and come under a condemnation again. And Crystal had to remind me, it's under the blood, Pete. I've heard other stories where people have gone back to share where they've done something to somebody and stolen from somebody, and then they're so blown away by their confession that they come to know Jesus. I don't know what God's going to lead and how God's going to use your story. That's my story, okay? And as far as speaking truth, you know, one thing about a lie is you can remember it. I can remember being a 16-year-old kid and lying to my dad about those cigarettes underneath my seat. I can remember lies, but the bad thing about lies is you got to remember how you told them. Because eventually, if you got to retell them, and you told them a little different than, huh? What? Now, wait a minute. Lies will eat away at you too, and they'll come back. Eventually, the truth will come out. And it's not easy. I've told lies to people that I love very much, and it's come out, and it was hard. And then I've had people tell lies about me. But you know, when people lie about me, it's almost like a peace when I know I'm telling the truth, because it's like the truth will eventually come out. It will, eventually. So I encourage you, church, however the Lord spoke to you today, may you confess it as sin and may be placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. Because He came to set us free. He came to set us free, and from this moment on we can live as righteous men and women. Not looking to steal and get ahead at every corner and not looking to deceive, but speaking truthfully. We hadn't had the traditional Thanksgiving message, but this is just where I feel like God's been leading us. And so I hope you guys have a blessed week. And I hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll live righteously this week, living your lives for Jesus Christ. Have a good week.